There's a word in the Bible that I think most of us use on a daily basis, but I don't think we consciously think about how important the word that it is. It's just a simple two-letter word, but is it really simple? And that's the word if. I-F, just the word if. It's most often, it can be a noun, but most often it is used as a conjunction. Conjunction is a word that's used to connect clauses, connect sentences, connect two different words. If is a very simple word, but there's other conjunctions as well. And, but, or, because, just a few samples of conjunctions, and if is right in there. But today, we're going to study the word if, and we'll see how critical it is, and how critical it was throughout history, and how critical it is in our lives today. If is used in the King James Bible 1,521 times, 1,021 times in the Old Testament, 492 times in the New Testament. In the New International Version, it's used 1,784 times. In the American Standard Version, it's used 1,588 times. That's a lot of ifs. But if is a really interesting word. It's one of the most important words we find in the Bible because it speaks directly to our responsibility to God. Most promises in the Bible have conditions. And the word if speaks of those conditions. Our response to God's commands affect our relationship with Him and determine our receiving gifts and promises from Him. We're, of course, not able to look at every instance of if today. I won't try to go through 1,500 of them today. But I have picked a few that we can look at in the Bible today. Let's take a look and see what if has to do with here. Psalms 81:8. David says, Israel, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. In Psalms 95, he says, if you hear his voice. Well, what does that infer? If you hear his voice? There's the conjunction. What's going to happen? There is a condition there on the other side, isn't there? Hear his voice, and if you hear his voice, then there's going to be a reward for that. Looking at Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. In this particular instance, Jesus has just gone through some parables with the crowd that he was speaking to. And his disciples asked, why are you talking like this? Why are you using, you're not speaking directly? Well, he says they're not ready for that. They don't understand. But so he goes through and he starts explaining why, or the parables that he talked to them, he's explaining to his own disciples there with him, and a few other people there as well. But he also concludes, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Hebrews 3:15 says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. The writer of Hebrews in this instance was, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. But hear his voice and do what's right. Now the rebellion that he's talking about is the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness by the Israelites. And they rebelled against the Lord. The Lord gave the Israelites a lot of different laws, 10 commandments, other laws we find in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, and the first five books of the Old Testament. We find there's a lot of ifs in there. To a great degree, the 1500 that we talked about earlier, a great degree, there's a lot of them in there. But also, the Jews, Israelites as they were spoken of back in those days, were rebellious people. And this writing is for our benefit. We can look back and we can learn what would have happened and what did happen if the Jews or the Israelites had listened to God's word. If, and had they fallen on the if, on the plus side, God made them all kinds of promises. But of course, they just kept rebelling and kept rebelling all the way through. And when they didn't follow God's promises, then God promised them, if you don't do what I'm asking, this is what's going to happen to you. So it's really important to go back and just pick up and concentrate every once in a while when you're reading. Concentrate on that word if. And look at it as how important it is rather than just a word you could shrug off, you don't pay much attention to, because it is critical. Also, if is used with listen. Deuteronomy 11:26 through 28. See, I am setting before you a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, and the curse, if you do not listen to the commandments of the Lord, but turn aside from the commandments I am giving you today. And a situation like this, this is what happened. Moses had come down off the mountain, and he got mad at the Israelites, and he threw the tables of stone down that had the Ten Commandments on them. They broke in pieces. And so God said, well, okay, come on back up here on the mountain, and we'll give you cut yourself out some stones, bring them with you, and we'll write those again for you. And so that's what Moses did. He went back up on the mountain. God wrote the Ten Commandments a second time on the stones and came down, and this is what Moses' message from the Lord was for the Israelites. You do these things, if you do these things, you're going to get all these wonderful blessings. But if you don't, you're going to get all the curses. So the Israelites had a choice. But we know ultimately they fell away, and a long time later, several hundred years later, because they were up and down, they disappeared from history. Never became a powerful nation after that. In Deuteronomy 28:13, Moses also said, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail if you listen to the commandments of the Lord your God and observe them carefully. Malachi 2:2, if you don't listen and if you don't honor my name, then I will send the curse upon you. In this particular case, God was talking to the priests in Israel. And of course, they were giving out false information. They were giving false information to the king, and so forth and so forth, and leading the people even more astray. And we know that after the switch, when Rehoboam and Jeroboam split up, the kingdom, 10 tribes went to the north, and 2 tribes stayed with Rehoboam as Judah. Then the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel, never was a faithful kingdom after that. What about if and obey? Exodus 19:5, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, and there's and, another conjunction, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples. This is God's word, the Lord's word, while they were camping before Mount Sinai. And this is not long after they had come across the Red Sea and gotten away from the Egyptians. But if you truly obey his voice and do all that I say, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. This is in Exodus 23, and this is actually an angel that God appointed to lead the children of Israel through the wilderness and end up on the east side of the Jordan River. What about if and voice? We go to the New Testament, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. In Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is worthless. What about faith? If and faith. Matthew 17, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, and nothing will be impossible to you. First Corinthians 13, 2, one of the favorite chapters in the New Testament for me. If I have the gift of prophecy and knowledge, and all faith, but if I do not have love, I have nothing. That's just a small portion of chapter 13, but there's a number of ifs in that. But there are a number of rewards as well. In Hebrews, but my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Jesus used the word if all the time. Almost half of the occurrences in the New Testament are in the first books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I have a difficult time, I always have had a difficult time, and it bothers me a lot to hear it referred to as the four Gospels. And this is a common comment. There's just one gospel, and that is God's word, one gospel, and yet we often hear it referred to as the four gospels. That is just a personal note for me. It just seems to bother me all the time when I hear that. But like I say, it is a common occurrence. Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth, Lord, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. We hear that often, don't we? In Galatians 6:9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. James tells us in 1:26, if anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, his religion is worthless. So we go through and we look at if and faith. We read this one time before in Matthew 17. If you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains and nothing will be impossible. Hebrews 10:38. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Jesus always put the if on man's side and never on God's side. If a man does, God will. This is the Bible principle and not the religion principle. It takes the if off man and puts it on God. It is true that the Old Testament covenant is about do this, do that, and that the new covenant in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ is about what God does for mankind. This is the covenant that I will do for them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and in their minds I will write them. And never again will I remember their sins and transgressions. We find that in the book of Hebrews, 10th chapter. This covenant in his blood is the covenant of grace. And grace means God acting instead of me. This doesn't mean that we should remain inactive or just contemplate, but we need to be active participants in Christ. Hebrews 3:14 says, we are members of his body, of his flesh, and his bones. We have become partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter. Partakers of the sufferings of Christ. That also is in Peter. We're united in the Lord's. In fact, we are his helpers, and as such, we have an obligation to cooperate with him. Today it seems kind of contradictory that Paul said in 2 Timothy, strive in grace that is in Christ Jesus. And one could say, well, why do I have to strive? Everything's already finished. Didn't Christ do everything already on the cross? What would your answer be to that? Of course, it would be no. God wants us to have a personal, intimate communion with him every day, whether it be in prayer, reading the Bible, being guided by him in all that we do, follow the commands that, and not what we do according to our own opinion. It's really sad to read how the book of Judges ends. In Judges 21 it says, in those days there were no kings in Israel. Each one did what he seemed was right. And each one seemed just, whatever I feel is right. That could get you in trouble really quick. But it's sadder even these days when you see that there's a king that's reigning over us, but most everybody still does whatever they think's right. Most of them, or a lot of them, don't even think, period, but they don't give it a thought, and you see this in declining numbers in the religious body. There are some religious bodies, of course, that I always call them feel-good churches, because they never use the if word in talking about, well, if you don't do what's in the Bible, this is what's going to happen to you. But they always say, oh, hey, God is wonderful. He's going to take care of it. All I have to do is just give your heart to God, and that's it. And yet, oh, have you heard the term always saved? Once saved, you're always saved. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. But it's a popular thing because, hey, I'm saved. I can do anything I want. I can go out there and sin, but I'm not going to sin unto death. I'm still going to be saved no matter what I do. I had an acquaintance. I can't quite call him a friend, but I had an acquaintance who was of that persuasion. He had been saved, he claimed, and yet he was one of the biggest crooks on a small scale, but as far as locally, he was a pretty healthy crook. Cheated people all the time, lied to people all the time, stole from them all the time. He owned a pawn shop here in town. And he used to come in with all these rings on. He probably had 20 rings on his 10 finger. And he was showing off his trophies. We would have coffee, a group of us would have coffee, and he would have those. And he just looked ridiculous. But he had, half a dozen heavy gold chains that he had actually, conned from people. But he still claimed that he was saved. I remember one time we were sitting in a group at a restaurant having coffee one afternoon. And he had all these things on his hands. And the lady sitting over here three or four booths away, and she got up, walked over, and she looked at him and she said, "Sir?" And he looked at her and said, "Yes, ma'am." He says, "Can I tell you how ridiculous you look?" And from that day on, he never wore another piece of jewelry. he kept, but it was a real shocking thing. But I don't think it helped his moral life a whole lot. But he went through telling everybody, "Well, I've been saved. Well, if you have any knowledge of the Bible at all, have studied the Bible at any length, you know that that's not the case. And I brought up the Bible a number of times with him in our conversations, and that's what he said. "Well, I don't need to worry about it anymore. I've been saved." So, interesting. It seems today that we want God to do everything. Sometimes we'd like Him to go to services for us, preach the gospel for us. But it's not like that. We are children of God, and we do have many rights that He has provided for us. But we also have obligations. We're the first fruits of the new creation, the first fruits of the sacrifice on the cross. We're responsible for expanding the kingdom of God. Not God. We're responsible. He's given us that responsibility. We're responsible for destroying the works of Satan. God has put him under control to some degree. But we are responsible. He's given that message to us. We have the obligation to bring the gospel to those who haven't heard. We've been given the gospel. But we've also been given the responsibility of teaching that to others. So we need to serve the Lord, be guided by Him. And not because we expect something from Him, but because we love Him, and because we love Him with all our hearts. You might want to follow along with me. I'd like to read Proverbs chapter 3. Just a short one, but my son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life, and abundant welfare will they give you. Now this is Solomon talking to his son Rehoboam. Let not loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. I will be healing to your flesh and refreshments to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom He delights. Happy is the son who finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding, for the gain from it is better than the gain from silver, and its profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are the riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's the tree of life. To those who lay hold of her, those who hold her fast, are called happy. The Lord, by wisdom, founded the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. By His knowledge, the deeps broke forth, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, keep sound wisdom and discretion. Let them not escape from your sight, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, which is in your power to do it. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. Do not contend with a man for no reason when he's done you no wrong. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. For the perverse man is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the abode of the righteous. Toward the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he shows favor. The wise will inherit honor, but fools only disgrace. I love Proverbs 3. We could take a lot of that to heart. Solomon was a wise man, speaking to his son Rehoboam, who didn't listen, by the way, but Solomon was wise and still gave him wise counsel. So, getting back to the word if, take a look at it and pay attention to it next time you're reading something, and you'll see how you can make the comparison if you do this or that. What was it Dean said this morning when he was in his lesson? If you do that, I'm going to punish you. But then you ended up with a soft heart. Sounds like most of us. But anyway, we always have an opportunity to teach the gospel whenever we can, opportunities all the time. I've missed a lot of opportunities to study with people. And I'm ashamed of some of those times that I didn't take the opportunity of what I should have. I remember a man in the hospital. I was in having an operation. It was in years ago, not many years ago, but a few years ago when I was in the service. And it was 1965. somewhere like that. But anyway, about 60 years ago, I was having an operation. It wasn't a serious one, but it kind of incapacitated me. And I was in the recovery at just in a ward there at the hospital. It's a military hospital. And there was an older man down at the end of the ward. And he sat on the side of his bed, and he just rocked back and forth. And every time I would get up and go somewhere, I would pass that man. And he would just rock back and forth. And he just kept saying, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. That's all he said. Constantly. I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I had an opportunity there. I had an opportunity to perhaps console him, to teach him about God. He was just absolutely terrified. But I went and walked by him and didn't say a word to him. And I've always regretted that all my life. So anyway, that brings me to the end of our lesson this morning. We always have the opportunity of offering someone who is not a member of God's a member of God's church, of his membership. You have that opportunity this morning. All you have to do is let us know. And the baptistry is ready. If you want to talk about it, we'll be more than happy to provide time for you. And we'll talk about the opportunity that you have. Also, if you're a member of the church and you've had difficulties arise in your life, and you need to make it right with the Lord, then you have that opportunity as well. We'll pray for you. We'll take it to heart. We always want to let you know that we will support you. Anything that you need, we'll provide for you. But let us know if we can be of any help to you. Thank you so much for the opportunity this morning.